Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So let's come to Romans 10, and as we're turning there, ask yourself the question, how do you feel when you're lied to? Feel betrayed, feel angry, feel upset, right? How about if it's someone close to you? That's even more devastating because that can even be a betrayal. What's the worst deception that can come upon you? The worst deception that can come upon you is that you believe the lies you were told, and you believe your own lies. Now, especially if you believe your own lies. Because you will think you are right. But the very worst of all is the lies that come from the pulpit. Especially if they read the scriptures and leave out a lot of things that God really wants you to know about and requires. So today, in the Protestant churches of God, there are many lies. Many, many lies. Do you know what they are? Have you ever questioned them? Have you ever looked into the Bible to prove what the Bible says, which is true, and the Word of God from the God of truth, which is what we need to know, and you prove the truth, all the truth, not some of it, not part of it. But you see, the real catch is this. In order to deceive, you must have some truth. So let's come to Romans, the 10th chapter, and we will see some of the scriptures that are used, which are only part of what God wants. And actually, the very beginning steps and thoughts that you need to take. So let's read it here. Romans 10 and verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? So what we're going to read the mantra that most Protestants follow. And if that's all there is to the truth, that you need to be saved, then why do we have the whole Bible? It wouldn't be necessary, would it? Well, it says here, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is that all there is to it? All right, let's go on. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. Because the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him shall not be ashamed. That's quite a thing, isn't it? And so around that then, they have devised the mantra prayer for confessing your sins.
Pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and into my life. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of you. You never again have to worry about calamity, your future, or where you're going to spend eternity ever again.
If you say that, then you're saved. supposedly. But are you? Are there other things required that God says you must do? And if there are, what are they? Well, we'll look at some of them, and we'll look at one of the most basic ones, and one that they lie about all the time. Now, stop and think about this. A minister who is a minister supposedly of God to bring you the truth of the scriptures so that you can understand what God says. If he lies to you, either overtly with a direct lie or lies by leaving out other pertinent scriptures which fill in the missing blanks. Either way. If you think you're saved, we're going to see today that you're not. And what do you need to do to actually be saved? Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it, huh? Let's see what else that they say. Let's come here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Here, they say that you don't need to be baptized. Now, we'll look at a couple of instances where it appeared that they didn't need to be baptized, but we'll find out quite differently. Verse 11, yes, in him in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will, so that we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So they use the word trust. That's good, we're supposed to. They say trust in Christ, but they only give you half the information. Now verse 13, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And they say, see, it says nothing about baptism here. So you don't need to be baptized. But we will see that's one of the biggest lies that the Protestants can preach. Now let's come to another one. Let's come to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Here we find something very important that Peter was preaching to Gentiles. Cornelius and an Italian centurion believed and prayed to God, and God answered the prayer. And an angel said, go get Peter, who is in Joppa, and he will come and speak to you all the words that you need to know. Verse 33, and here's what he told Peter. Therefore I sent for you at once, and you did come. So then we are all present before God to hear the things that have been commanded us by God. Now notice the difference here. This word commanded was not in Romans 10. But because it wasn't there doesn't mean it isn't necessary. Let's go on. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation the one who fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, look at that phrase, works righteousness. That means something you do. Now, what is righteousness? Because a lot of people say, well, righteousness, you just be good. No. Psalm 119 and verse 172 says, all your commandments are righteousness. Huh. We wouldn't know that unless we had the Old Testament, right? Now, verse 36. The word that he sent to the children of Israel, preaching the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now, as we go through these scriptures, I want you to note the importance of certain things that are said, which may appear to be casual on the surface. But if Jesus is Lord of all, what does that mean? Exactly that. And there's another scripture which says, quoting Jesus, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." So think about that. The authority of the gospel on the earth had been given to Jesus Christ and to his true servants and true ministers, not to liars. Know this, that if anyone comes to you and is lying and doing so in the name of Jesus Christ, and you believe that it's true, you're being deceived. Verse 38, concerning Jesus, who was from Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things that he both did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up the third day and showed him openly. Now that's just a summary of what Peter was saying. So I want you to consider this and think of this. Here's Cornelius, this large estate headquarters where he had his family and his 100 troops and his servants and his friends. Okay? They're all gathered out there. Verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to fully testify that it is he who had been appointed by God to judge the living and the dead." Speaking of the power of Jesus. "To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives remission of sins through his name." So what does it mean to believe? Okay. With all your heart, as it says in Romans 10. But what does that mean? How can you believe fully when you're not told all the truth? Now, verse 44. Notice what happened. Because this is important. Because there are people that say, because of what happened here with the Gentiles, and they believed, and they received the Holy Spirit, that they didn't have to be baptized. And in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says, if you believe, and after you have believed, you have received the Holy Spirit, a promise. Let's see what the true answer to the question is. Are they required to be baptized or not? Let's read on. Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon those who were listening to the message. And the believers from the circumcision were astonished, as many as had come with Peter, that upon the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out." Now, what they're thinking is, back on the day of Pentecost, 12 years earlier, when the Holy Spirit came from God, it came upon everyone who was there as a witness of the power of God and the resurrection of Christ. But we will see what happened. Even though when the apostles were speaking in their own language, it came out in multiple languages for all of those who were the Jews from different countries that were there at the temple. So this was mighty powerful. And then we will see how Peter finished that message. But let's look at what happened here, because the account does not stop at this point. Verse 46, "For they heard them speak in other languages and magnify God. Then Peter responded by saying," now notice carefully what took place next. "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have also received the Holy Spirit as we did?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? When you get all the facts. He commanded them to be baptized. Now, why did they receive the Holy Spirit before they were baptized? Because you need to understand something about traditional Judaism. Not the laws of God, but traditional Judaism was that a Jew could not keep company with one of another nation. And those who of the circumcision came were astonished, because a lot of them believed that salvation was just for the Jews. But we will see that's not true. Let's come back here to Acts, the second chapter. Let's see what Peter commanded the Jews to do on the day of Pentecost. So here the mystery ends in Acts, the 10th chapter. Peter commanded them to be baptized. He did not say, "Oh, God has given the Holy Spirit to them without baptism. Don't bother with it." No, he didn't say that. He said the same thing to them that he said to the Jews. Acts, the second chapter, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now then, there may have been some Jews in the audience there who were just weeks before crying out to Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him." That may be true. But you see, since Jesus was crucified and died for our sins, the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, and every living being that has ever been, that becomes important to understand. See? In other words, if Christ died for our sins with his crucifixion and death, and then subsequent resurrection after 3 days and three nights, our sins also were responsible for his death. Because by his shed blood, we have our sins forgiven. So Peter said, "Whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And after hearing this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do now? If we're guilty of killing the one that God has sent, because he died for our sins, and our sins helped kill him, what are we going to do?" Well, Peter says right here, "Repent." Now, you probably have heard of that. But what does repentance mean? Repentance means that you are sorrowful for breaking the laws of God. Now, do you know what the commandments of God are that you ought to keep them? "Oh, but you're told by the liars in the pulpit the law has been done away." No such thing. We've got many, many segments on Church at Home, you can find out about that. Law has not been done away, because where there's no law, there's no sin. So how can they repent of their sins? Huh? There's no law. And that means stop the way you are living and turn to God with all your heart and repentance, asking forgiveness for all the transgressions that you have done in breaking his laws. And if you want to know what those are, read the Ten Commandments, right? Repent and be baptized. Now, baptism is by full immersion in water. Not a little sprinkling, not a little dabbling. See? They went from full immersion in water to sprinkling and dabbling, and then no need to be baptized. So you see how far away from the truth that the religious leaders have gotten and have been preaching a false gospel to the people? And how that they do not know. If they stand in the pulpit on Sunday and say, repent of your sins, what's the first thing they need to do? Because Sunday is not the day of God. The Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, is God's day. So while they say, repent of your sins, they're standing there sinning by endorsing Sunday. Do you believe Sunday's a day to keep? You've been deceived. Now, that you may think that's an outrageous statement to make, but it's a fact. And be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41. Then those who joyfully received the message were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added that day. Amazing, isn't it? Let's come to Matthew 28. Here's the command of Jesus himself. Now, this is when they were at Galilee and on the mountain to meet Jesus after his resurrection. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So there were some who still didn't believe, though you see it. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, now listen carefully, because you will see that baptism is absolutely required. And a right baptism, in a right way, with right and truthful repentance of your sins, which are the transgressions of God's commandments. Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Stop right there. That means no saying of any man contrary to the word of God in Christ has any binding power on those who hear it. Only the words of God and Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them, see, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, that's quite a statement. What did Jesus command them? You look in the Gospels, you find there are a lot of things that are commands of Jesus Christ. See? So it's not the simple deceptive taking little scriptures and making it sound like, oh, you don't have to do anything. And you're never told what the commandments are. You're never told when you repent, you have to repent of breaking those commandments. And when you repent of breaking them, you have to turn and go God's way and start keeping them. Now, we have many segments to cover that. Now, for you to understand what's going on, we have a booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America. And it's going down like a lead balloon. And you need another book that we have. Lord, what should I do? What is it that God really, really wants you to do? Yes, God loves you. God wants you to repent. God wants you to come to him. But you have to make that decision. And you have to act upon it. And then, if you want a real detailed study, how far the Christian world has been deceived, you need our book, A cold holidays or God's holy days, which? So, baptism is commanded. Baptism is necessary. And on the next segment, we will look at the church of Ephesus to see, did Paul require them to be baptized? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.